So we're in a bit of trouble as a planet, as well the collection of species thereon, including us, although our role in that trouble is large. Climate change we know about. You may have read an extraordinary report just in the last couple of weeks on the rate of decline in the planet's insect population, and the consequences of that will be dire. Why is it happening? Well, agriculture has a lot to do with it and the way in which we farm. And that has changed. That has become vast, corporatised. Paddocks, huge sweeping paddocks, subdued by pesticides, productive, but in their way deadly. We may have to change the way we go about that business. Dr. Francesco Sanchez Bayo is from the University of Sydney's School of Life and Environmental Sciences. That report in insect decline was partly co-authored by him. Francesco, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We have a problem here, do we not, with a galloping global population that requires food, and yet the way in which we are setting about providing that food may kill us all.
Yes, indeed. You're exactly right. Of course, the insects are declining not just because of agriculture. There are many other factors involved, as you can imagine. But agriculture is the main one, actually, is the prime driver of the declines for two reasons. First of all, because it involves the modification of the natural ecosystems, and that includes a habitat loss in many different ways, loss of trees, hedgerows, many other plant species on which the insects depend on. And secondly, because of the constant use of agrochemicals, fertilizers, pesticides of different types, insecticides, herbicides and fungicides among the main ones.
So, I mean, insecticide, the word says it all, is a means of killing insects. And that is something we need, we are told, we believe, we assume, to lift agricultural production, to make that land as productive as possible. We need to kill the things that might prey on those crops. But is that the end of it? Are there other ways?
Actually, it's not. This is a misconception, which is probably spread because of the interest of the corporate agrochemical companies, which obviously they want to make profit and they want to make big money by selling their products. The fact of the matter, and it has been revealed and published in the last few years, insecticides don't increase productivity of the crops. At the best, what it can do is to minimize the losses, for example, of the storage grain or the store products. Mm. Or they can make the fruit look spotless and nice, okay? But they don't increase the crop production. Herbicides do. Herbicides, by eliminating the weeds, obviously avoid the competition of these other plants for water and nutrients, and so therefore the crop grows better and produces more. All right? So most of the agricultural productivity comes from the genetic modifications and the varieties that we use. It's practically no gain by using insecticides. However, having said that, it is obvious that insecticides need to be applied from time to time. And so when do we use insecticides? When we have an outbreak of a pest. And here's the misconception. Many people, farmers included, think that in their crops they have to use insecticides every time because otherwise they will have a pest outbreak. And that's not true.
And I imagine that farmers are led to that belief by the people who in turn supply those insecticides.
That's right. The agronomists, the consultants, and so on. So what happens is in natural systems, normally there is no pest outbreaks because all the insects control each other. So there is a host of species there that are controlling the pest. It's only when we have extensive monocultures, and that's what we call the agricultural intensification, that we are fostering the outbreaks. And then, of course, if we have an outbreak, there's no other way to, to suppress it but to use deadly chemicals. But to prevent the outbreak, which is our first way of avoiding this, we can use other methods. And those methods were developed about 60 years ago in California, when they realized that the initial use of organoclonic insecticides were devastating the crops. So not only they were not increasing the productivity, but on the contrary, they were harming. Why? They discovered that they were killing all the good bugs, the natural enemies, the parasitoids, right, all that. So they were creating the outbreaks by using insecticides. So they, therefore, there was a team of entomologists that developed what we call integrated pest management, IPM for short. And integrated pest management principles are very simple and very much common sense. And farmers have been using this for many years as well. Sometimes they forget about it, okay, but they know about it. So for every pest species, we have probably 10 or 20 predators and parasitoids that can control them. So what we have to do is, in the first place, use these natural systems, which are already there, provided by nature, to prevent the development of an outbreak. So that's the first thing. If we fail, or maybe later in the crop, there is an outbreak in certain places, not everywhere, only in certain crops in certain places, then we can use insecticides only there. But this idea of having to use insecticides all the time in all the crops across the board, that's wrong. That's what is killing the insects.
Is it possible to I mean, we know, I mean, here are a few things we know, that, that the population of the planet is growing extraordinarily, and that that therefore will require vast increases in agricultural production.
Yes.
Is it possible to have those increases in production without introducing monocultures?
Yes, it is. In fact, I can refer here to a study that was published in 2016. It was published by two researchers from the UK. But the study took place in Africa and Southeast Asian countries. And they studied over a number of years 115 crops, practically the lot of the crops that we have for our food production. And there were 85 different studies, and they compare those that were using insecticides according to the agricultural intensification or conventional methods of using fertilizers, pesticides, widespread, and those that were using integrated pest management techniques in different ways for the different crops, because each crop requires a different way of management. And they found that 82 out of the 85 studies that used integrated pest management produced at least the same or even more yields than the ones that they were not, that the conventional ones. So that demonstrated that we can produce the same amount of food by using integrated pest management techniques.
So what stands in the way of that becoming the accepted agricultural standard?
Well, here there's a division, even among conservationists, they don't understand that. They think there are only two ways of growing food. One is to cut the forest and start growing crops and monocultures. And that's been the case in many countries in Africa in the past, and still in some of them nowadays, and it was the way in North America and Europe also in the past, not anymore. And the other way is to concentrate in the land we have already allocated to agriculture and eliminate everything that is not the crop, all the weeds, all the insects, everything is what we call agricultural intensification. So when you think, oh, it would be better to this second strategy, because we don't have to cut the forest, we don't have to do anything. Well, The recent studies have shown this is more damaging for the environment, and it's killing the insects, and it's killing the base of the ecosystems. So this system is not working. It's not working. It's not producing more. So what can we do? Well, it's the third way, what I said before. We can use the land that we have already allocated for agriculture, but we can diversify the crops, not just monocultures. We can have crop rotations. We can have multi-crops in the same area. We have to, if we want to restore the insect populations, we have to plant trees, hedgerows, flowers around to attract pollinators and to attract the natural predators that will control the pest in the first place. So by doing so, we'll produce the same amount of food that we are producing now, but we will restore the ecosystem in a way that will help us to control the pest without using insecticides. So all put together, some recent studies have calculated that if we reduce now the use of pesticides by 50%, we won't lose any productivity whatsoever. We will have the same amount of food.
And the effect on insect numbers will be what?
They will bounce back, obviously. Because, I mean, I'm very optimistic about this. We are not dealing with whales or tigers or pandas. that require decades to recover the population.
Because the breeding cycle is very short.
It's very short, and within 1 or 2 years, we can get the populations back, right? So that's feasible. So if we take the action now, so we can recover these insect populations that have been lost, and then we'll go back to the natural system. So we had to work with nature, not against nature. Mm. In the last 30 years, we've been working against nature. And then, of course, if we work against nature, what can we reap? We reap disaster. I mean, that's what we are seeing now.
And yet, I mean, counter to that, I mean, the entire trend in agriculture, particularly in this country, I think it would be true to say, is towards large corporatized holdings where the investment in that land is distant from the actual work on the land, where, you know, the sort of change that you're suggesting is possibly going to be hard to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our message doesn't fall well with the companies. Why? Because we are advocating to reduce the agrochemicals by 50%, in particular insecticides and fungicides. I mean, they are going to lose 50% of the profits. That's obvious. Mm. So they don't want to hear that, but that's the solution. We know that's the solution. So it's not that we are saying we have to eliminate all the pesticides altogether all at once. No, we are not saying that. What we are saying is we have to go to integrated pest management, put nature first, and only use insecticides as the last resort, as the last tool, when there's no other way. We have to use them because otherwise we lose the crop, and then we have to use them.
Because as you point out, the consequences of inaction are dire and will be quick. We don't have a lot of time to, despite the fact that, yes, we can recover in quick time, but there's not a lot of time left to recover those insect populations.
Yeah, unfortunately, as you mentioned at the introduction, so there are three studies done in Germany, the UK, and Puerto Rico. And the three studies are consistent in that rate of decline, 2.5% per year, in biomass. Biomass is just the weight of insects at a given time and at a given place, which means that we lost 80% already. So at the same rate, by the end of the century, we will be nothing, or 1%, or something, very small amount, if we continue this rate. But we can reverse that trend if we start doing something about it right now.
Francesco, thank you so much for pointing that out with such clarity. It is a thing of some urgency and importance. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Francesco Sanchez-Bayo, and there you have it, the population of the world's insects in decline. There is something we can do about that, which is a splendidly positive note. Blueprint here on RN.